broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, providing more freedom to more people in the history of the world than anybody else, bar none. Welcome to the broadcast into the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yes, we've got issues. The return to the supreme law of the land, with replete with its checks and balances, is the solution. We welcome you to join us in our sacred cause. All right, quick recap of last hour. Kevin Brady on reconciliation. Bill, this is Obamacare gone, not Obamacare light. Nothing has been official until it's been denied. Rand Paul and others oppose new Republican bill called Obamacare light. Introducing the, quote, American Health Care Act. And you can find it at readthebill.gop. Readthebill.gop if you want to read about it. The House Republicans, AHCA, that's the term for the new bill, would block federal funding for Planned Parenthood. That's a good piece for pro-life advocates. But the reality is half Americans can't even afford to write a check for $500. So you know what? We got a row to hoe with this thing. But really, the debates are, you know what? They want to really mandate everybody has health care. They don't want to repeal. They want to replace. And that really is the problem, where the fly is in the ointment. The Republicans are divided. And whether this will go anywhere or not, I don't know. But I proposed at the end of last hour some very significant solutions to the problems we face with government health care. You got to get government out of the middle of health care, folks. It's that simple. All right. That's a recap of last hour. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, back with us. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Hi, Sam. Good to be back.
All right. Now, didn't another state become a right-to-work state?
Well, yeah, Missouri has passed the right to work. Now, it's going to be not going into effect until this August, and in fact, the unions are probably going to be able to delay that by putting it on the ballot in 2018. But yes, we do have a 28th right to work state with Missouri. And that follows closely on the heels of Kentucky, which, of course, became a right-to-work state in January.
Now, quick question for you then. If Missouri does put it to the people for a vote, I'm not necessarily for that, just because I don't believe that my right to be free from unions depends on other people's voting. Nevertheless, what will the people say, you think?
Well, we know that the people support right to work. I mean, polling always shows 75-80% broad support. But of course, the unions have a lot of money, and they're going to use that to confuse the issue. We've already seen some of the tactics they've got out there. They've already submitted some very misleading ballot questions to go on.
Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org, you've nailed it. It all depends on how it's presented to the people, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, they actually submitted 10 different ballot questions to be approved. They sent them in to the previous Secretary of State, who Kander, who had run for Senate, lost a Senate bid as a Democrat. Got a lot of union support, and literally his last day in the office, he approved all the language instead of letting it go to his successor, who had not taken millions of dollars from unions and backing for an election. So this is now...
So can you sue this guy for a conflict of interest?
Well, not for that, but we have sued to challenge the language, and that's in court right now in Missouri. And so it is litigated. And that's a real question. We think we can stop some of the worst parts of that. And they have a kind of a complicated process in Missouri constitutional amendments that are, in terms of what it takes in the state, relatively easy to be initiated without the legislature. So they can go, they submit the language, and they go have to get a certain amount of signatures, and then it goes on the ballot. And so that's one tactic it looks like the unions are going to take. And then at the same time, they may do the repeal initiative, which is a similar process, but they can actually repeal a certain bill, and we think that may be what they're going to try and do to the right to work law. And so they may actually have both of them on the ballot in an effort to further confuse things. And that's part of their tactics. Their hope is everyone gets confused, they vote no, I don't understand what's going on, and because of that, they can continue their forced dues powers and overturn the right to work law. Now, we know that if people understand what right to work is, that it's really the only change that a right to work law does to the relationship between a union and employees and the company is it says that a union official can no longer have a worker fired just for not paying dues. We know that that Americans and those in Missouri and everywhere else are, behind that strongly. So it's going to be an interesting cycle to watch there, because there's going to be we're going to have to see how it all plays out in the next few months, what ends up being on the ballot, and then come next year, 2018, in November likely is when this is all going to come down. The unions will pour a ton of money into it because they really desperately need a victory. We've had so many victories for right to work and for freedom that they are just looking for any example of sort of stopping this or pushing this back. And so we're gonna see what happens, but it's gonna be an interesting fight. We're working to make sure that all the resources are there to win that that ballot initiative. But 28 right to work states and two this year, that's very significant. So.
It is significant. Any quick idea what you expect to happen? What do you think is going to occur? Are the people going to win on this one?
In Missouri, yeah, I think so. You know, we have to see how the legal stuff plays out in terms of these misleading constitutional amendments that they've put. Like I said, that's probably going to get resolved in the next couple months. And then, of course, you can still do have to go out there to collect the signatures, we'll see what happens there. But I think there's a lot of good people in Missouri who I think we're going to be able to make it clear what right to work does. And if that happens, I'm confident that that people will uphold the right to work law there and protect workers' freedom to choose if they want to support a union or not.
All right. It seems to me, going forward, the real where the rubber meets the road is going to be nationally speaking, because the Labor Department's been very hostile and abusive. They've done a lot of, in my opinion, dirty deals behind the scenes, etc. Now that Donald Trump is not talked about being president, but he really is, and he's had 6 weeks about in office, are you seeing a sea change? Are you seeing a difference? And will Donald help our cause?
Well, we're certainly seeing some changes. I mean, obviously, anytime a new president comes in, there's a lot on their plate. There's a lot going on. In terms of concrete actions that he's taken so far, certainly on our issue, the best thing, I think, is the nomination of Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. We do think he's very much in the mold of Antonin Scalia, maybe even better on a few issues in terms of particularly not being deferential to federal agencies when they overstep their bounds and go, over what their legal mandate is. I think that's a good thing. And we also know I think it was an interview that Ruth Bader Ginsburg did with the New York Times. She said that the Friedrichs case, which was a year ago, and it ended up dying 4-4 with a tie after Scalia passed away, that she basically said, yes, Scalia was the fifth vote to overturn forced union dues for all public sector employees in America. And we've got a case that's coming back. It was just argued just a couple days ago, last week in Chicago, Illinois. It's two public employees for the state of Illinois, and they're trying to overturn forced union dues for public employees. So basically, right to work for every government employee in America, which would be huge because half of all union members or those under a union contract right now work not for private companies but for the government. So this would free all of them who are not currently covered by a right to work law.
And that's great news, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick Simmons with us. RightToWork.org. Got to pause real quick. We'll come right back and drill in a little further. One of the interesting things to note that I don't think people realize, even though Barack has been, along with the labor board, very hostile to freedom and the right to work and very pro-hostile unions, the fact is less and less people are even involved in unions over the years. We'll talk about that in seconds as well. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Patrick Simmons, RightToWork.org on your radio. So Donald really hasn't had a whole lot of time to do much. And on one hand, we need to give him time to be fair. On the other hand, we don't have much time. We got 2 years, tops, and if significant inroads aren't made on so many issues, the Republicans are going to lose their clout. I'm telling you right now, we got to be very, very careful of that. And as far as I can tell, Congress is stuck on stupid. They just put Obama Light forward. All the real conservative organizations are rejecting Obama Light and saying it's bogus. We'll get into that a little more as the broadcast unfolds. We covered it last hour. But right now, Right to Work is a good thing. And we made a lot of strides, even though we really had Obama and crew take off the gloves with the labor board and really abuse us hard over the last 8 years. The fact is, less people are involved in unions every single year for the latest or the last many, many years, right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's basically held steady for the last couple of years, but I think that's significant when you consider everything that the Obama Labor Board and Department of Labor and every other agency that they could get involved have done to push unions. We saw the ambush election rule, which changed the way a union election takes place, gives union organizers a lot more power to control the timing, to stop workers who might be resistant to the union from organizing against the union. So, despite all that, we've seen union rates stay steady after, and that's for the last couple of years, and that's after some significant drop-offs. Workers are not choosing unions in the same way that they were. They can still form a union, and that's one of the things we point out. Even in a right-to-work state, you can still form a union. The mechanism is identical to states with forced dues. The only change is that once the union's in, a worker can't be forced.
So let me get this idea correct, then. The pro-choice folks aren't really pro-choice when it comes to unions.
No, though they're very much in favor of force and coercion and denying choice to workers.
So you can murder your baby if you're pro-choice. You just can't leave a union.
That seems to be their position. Yeah.
I see. All right. Anyway, I brought that up because I want people to understand we're not even against the ability for workers to join a union or to be part of one. We're not against that. What we're against is this forced union scenario where you're forced to pay dues. We're against this idea that people don't have freedom to come and leave as they wish. If they're being represented well, they should join. If they're not, they should leave. And that should be a freedom that we all should embrace as Americans. We also need to realize that there needs to be some transparency about what the leadership is spending money on, because oftentimes the rank and file think the union's representing them, and in reality, they're concocting all kinds of mischief with the very funds that the guy on the ground, the local person, believes is doing well and advocating for their cause when it's not true. So not only do I advocate for people to leave and join unions at their free will, but I also advocate for transparency about what the union's doing with funds.
Yeah, that's right. And, I think we've talked about this before, but this last election was a great example of that. You have, at the top level, the union bosses, the leadership in Washington, D.C., they're spending 95% of their money on Democrats and Democrat candidates. But you look at the rank and file, and almost equal numbers voted for Trump as did for Hillary. It's really a glaring example of that disconnect, and the reason why workers need right to work to provide a choice so they can not fund that type of activity if they don't want. But then also it gives them accountability and a way to hold union officials accountable and say, hey, listen, if you're focusing on the workplace and on things that are relevant to me and my family, and then I'm going to be willing to pay. But if you're focused off on policies in Washington, D.C. that have nothing to do with me and my community, but are all about talking to the right elite people who hang out in New York City and Washington, D.C., that's not something I want to support. And so I'm going to exercise my right to work in that situation.
Well, and I'll give you a perfect example. Just imagine if the rank-and-file union member understood that the union leaders, the topocracy, whatever you want to call them, the elites at the union, were taking their dollars and working with the labor board and working with the Barack Hussein administration and literally pushing for people not to be able to organize against the unions. Can't we create a union against the unions? By our own free will and choice? See, that's the problem. And once people really realize what's going on here, this is about the stopping of violence. This is about the stopping of unions getting a special pull at the labor to their favor against the rest of us. This is a matter of transparency, a matter of honesty, and a matter of agency, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just getting back to kind of what we were talking about before the break, we've got this case that says the First Amendment should not allow the government to say, in order to work for your own government, you have to pay money to this third-party group that's going to speak to the government, lobby the government on your behalf. we think that there's a real good chance that next year, by about this time, we're going to have a ruling that says that violates the First Amendment. And so that would be a major step towards a more free society when it came to the relationship between unions and workers.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. Yeah. Well, we got to keep working on that. Any other quick tidbits before we let you fly?
Well, the only other thing I was going to say is the NLRB, we highlighted Gorsuch nomination, which I think is a very good thing that Trump has done on our issue. But the NLRB still has two vacancies, and that's been very disappointing that those have not been filled yet. And so we're looking for some action from the Trump administration. I know they've interviewed a lot of good people, people who we think would be good nominees, but they haven't actually named anyone yet. And so right now there's still a 2-1 majority of Obama kind of pro-labor, pro-force dues people on there. And so we need to get two more people on so we have a 3-2 majority and can start really undoing some of the damage that came from the Obama Labor Board.
All right. There you have it, sir. We appreciate your time. What can the American people do to help put those vacancies in place from Donald Trump? Is there anything we can do to get a list of people to advocate for? What can we do to help?
Well, I mean, in terms of, I think basically it's just to contact the Trump administration would be a good way to do it. If you want to go through the National Right to Work Committee, you can sign up there through the website, nrtwc.org. There you'll be able to get information, and that'll help you contact the Trump administration. But it's basically just saying, you know, we care about this. It's always been a problem that the Democrats pay a lot of attention to the labor board, and the Republicans, they get in, there's so many other things they want to do. It often sits, in the Bush years, there were vacancies for years, and that prevented from so much stuff that needed to get overturned from the Clinton labor board. And so it's really just about focusing and once they name those people, it should be relatively non-controversial to get them confirmed in the Senate. It's just a question of getting that process started.
And except for the fact that everything that's good that we want to do, they want to challenge at every single turn. In other words, they've got a hostile agenda towards anything that the proper role of government would carry forward. So expect trouble and expect a battle.
Yeah, well, there's no question they'll try, but Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for this type of nominee, so it will only take 51.
Well, then where's Rand Paul to get it done?
Yeah, well, he needs to have nominees before they can be confirmed, so Trump needs to name them, and then we can have Rand and everyone else try and push them.
Can folks like you put a list together of, hey, these are the proposed hopeful nominees, Donald?
Yeah, I know that there have been reports, and it's been pretty widely reported, that they're down to three different nominees for the two empty seats. We think any of the three would be very good. So it's really just a question of picking the two and sending it to the Senate at this point.
Well, somebody needs to prioritize that and slam dunk that sucker yesterday, don't they?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
There he goes. Patrick Simmons, ladies and gentlemen, righttowork.org, doing a phenomenal job. Again, we're not against unions. Let's be clear. We're just against unions that don't believe in pro-choice. We're also against unions that aren't transparent, letting their rank and file know what's happening with the money and what they're backing and doing and promoting with these sacred funds that people give in an effort to be appropriately represented. Let's make sure they really are, okay? Righttowork.org. Check it out today. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Alex Newman of the New American Magazine keeps careful track of who's who in the globalist world. While the Trump administration has the fewest members of the Globalist Council on Foreign Relations of any administration in recent history, the numbers are growing. After crushing the establishment and delivering a series of blows to globalism, President Donald Trump's winning spree against the powerful forces that opposed him appears to be slowing down, writes Newman. In fact, with his recent selection of Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster as National Security Advisor and Judge Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, both of whom have been listed as members of the establishment globalist swamp known as the Council on Foreign Relations, or CFR, concerns are growing even among Trump's supporters and grassroots conservative activists. There were already several CFR-linked officials before the latest additions, the very same forces that viciously libeled and attacked him in their failed bid to stop the swamp draining. Founded in 1921 as the American affiliate of an international network of covert political, banking, and academic elitists, the CFR has long been acknowledged by both defenders and detractors as the most visible element of the power elite. It provides an institutional nexus between public officials who shape policy on terms favorable to internationalism, media elites who shape the public mind to support that policy, academics who devise that policy, banking interests that fund and benefit from it, and the covert institutions that carry it out. This is a tremendous concentration of power in the hands of fewer than 4,000 people, whose members routinely find their way into key positions of government influence. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Meadows of Freedom's Works emailed us. Freedom Works, John Meadows. He breaks down his view of the Health Care Act the Republicans just rolled out for immediate release. Kurt?
Yeah, and he says, Freedom Works comments on Obamacare Lite. So you can tell by the headline it's a little less than complimentary, if you will. He says, this is Obamacare Lite. It creates a new entitlement through the refundable tax credits. It allows insurance companies to assess a 30% penalty on those who don't keep continuous coverage for 63 days, which is an individual mandate by another name. And then he basically says, we're 100% behind the efforts of Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and the House Freedom Caucus to bring real patient-centered alternatives to replace Obamacare. And we have endorsed Rand Paul and Mark Sanford's Obamacare Replacement Act, which sets the benchmark for a shift away from Obamacare, end quote. So there you have it.
This is Obamacare Lite. In other words, real conservatives, Kurt, are rejecting the Republican plan, and they're moving towards the plan that Rand Paul in the Senate and Mark Sanford in the House put together. I don't even think their plan is perfect, but it's way better than this one. It's not near as good as the Sam Bushman plan, Kurt. Neither of them are.
Good point.
Nevertheless, I would, again, agree with Freedom Works on this one, Kurt.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, I guess we'll have to see how it all shakes down. Huh?
It creates a new entitlement. Let's focus on what he said, because he really got it succinct. Mm-hmm. It's Obamacare Lite. Why? Because it creates a new entitlement through the refundable tax credits. It allows insurance companies to assess a 30% penalty on those who don't keep continuous coverage for, quote, 63 days.
Yep. There
you which go. Is an individual mandate by another name. I couldn't agree more, Kurt. That's the problem with it. And I commend Freedom Works. Now, we're not always aligned with Freedom Works on everything, but they're right on this one. And what I really like is they say we're 100% behind the efforts of Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and the House Freedom Caucus to bring real, patient-centered alternatives to replace Obamacare.
Yeah.
That's good work, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Then they say, we have endorsed Rand Paul's and Mark Sanford's Obamacare Replacement Act.
Yep.
That's important, folks, because they endorse what they believe to be the solution. Now, whether you agree or not, that's the perfect answer. Again, I think that there's a little bit to be desired about Rand's plan and Mark Sanford's plan. It's not as good as Ron's plan. It's not as good as my plan, but you know what? It's way better than what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
At least Freedom Works clearly comes out and tells you what they reject about Obamacare Lite and what they promote about Rand Paul's plan. They say it sets the benchmark for a shift away from Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical. All right. Anyway, enough of that. But again, that's the breakdown over the last couple of hours, what we think of the Obamacare plan. It's Obamacare light, Kurt. It doesn't get it done. I'm not happy with it at all. I'm absolutely ashamed of the Republicans after wasting, what, 8 years talking, or, well, since 2010, I guess, 7 years talking about it with literal votes many times to completely repeal. Now when they get the real chance, they waffle. They they do more than fumble. It's almost like they give the ball to the other team and then say, we don't have the ball. They lie, they're dishonest, they're immoral, and they're not serious about it at all. And after 8 years of talk, or 7 years of talk, after tons of repeal votes in the House, they voted like 40 times on this stuff. Now when they get the chance, they don't do it, and now they roll out this. They had from November, whatever, when they took power, to work on it. They then had from January 21st, after Donald Trump was inaugurated, to work on it. And they still roll out after running around and playing hide-and-seek with the bill and making it secret. Now they roll this out, Kurt. I'm telling you right now, the Republicans will lose next election cycle. What a disgrace, Kurt. There's so many simple solutions on the table. Ann Coulter points them out. We point them out. Freedom Works points them out. And everybody's stuck on stupid and nothing happens. The Republican Party is turning into our enemy, Kurt. It really is. They're becoming the direct impediment to the proper role of limited government.
And then you've got to go back to what is a Republican. Because as far as I know, Rand Paul
Called a party.
Mike Lee. Yeah, I know. But they're, they've got an R after their name. And so do, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. And there's a big difference.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is a House, literally speaking, divided against itself.
Yeah.
And what's supposed to happen when that occurs? Surely they'll fall, Kurt. They will.
Good point.
Yeah, you got the Republicans divided against themselves. We're not even talking about the Democrats now. You got the Republicans that say it's not Obamacare light. It's awesome. And then you got the Republicans that say it is Obamacare light. We're not going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the majority of the Republican Party, though, is fine with it. And they think the conservatives are off the rails. So time will tell where that falls, but that's an update for you. All right, Kurt, there's a Senate bill in Utah that's pretty good news, huh?
Let's see. That's the way I remember it. Let's see, what is it? Senate Bill
81.
All right. About the home-based businesses we're talking about?
Yes, sir. I read you the headline. The headline says this. Senate Bill 81 will prohibit cities from requiring fees of home-based businesses in the state of Utah. Now, there's a little bit of clarification to that in the article, but it's good news in my mind.
Yeah, our buddies there at the Libertas Institute, as always, we don't agree with everything they do, but they do some great work. Connor Boyack there. He says, basically, fourth time's the charm. After 4 years attempting to change the home-based business law, this year finally saw success. He says once the governor signs it into law, which we expect he will, Senate Bill 81 will prohibit cities from requiring fees of home-based businesses in Utah. This applies only to home-based businesses that don't have an impact on surrounding neighbors beyond the impact of regular residential use. Well, there's where your, you know, government bureaucrat can evaluate your impact, you know what I mean. Then he goes on to say, in other words, if your businesses is online marketing or clerical work, sitting at your computer does not impact your neighbors, and therefore no justification exists for the city to regulate you. As such, they cannot make you pay them a fee. On the other hand, under the bill, if your work involves mixing foul-smelling chemicals or making very loud noise, that is more than typical residential use, and therefore the city could collect a fee. Even better, he goes on to say, your children are exempted for their part-time businesses, babysitting, lawn mowing, door-to-door sales, lemonade stands, and more. Cities will now be prohibited from requiring them to even obtain a license or permit, nor can they collect a fee. And then he finishes up.
This is pretty good news. They say that they've passed this thing. They're just waiting for the governor to sign it now, right?
Yep, that's right. He says, he finishes up in the final paragraph, this is a huge victory for free market policy and validation of our longstanding efforts, along with Senator Anderegg's support to shield small business owners from unnecessary fees paid to the government as a condition of legally operating.
So do I get back my money for all the years that they've abused me?
I don't think so, Sam.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll take what we can get, I guess. But yeah, all I can tell you is I think it's good news, Kurt, especially for you. You've been harassed over this quite a bit, haven't you? It's been a regulatory nightmare for Mr. Crosby.
But then, like I say, you know, the devil is going to be in the details, and it all depends on your friendly neighborhood bureaucrat and how they want to evaluate that, because I guarantee you the wrong kind of bureaucrat can make your life less than
pleasant.
Fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There you go, right, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt, News the Network refuses to use, always on tap when we're on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs, get the original, get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Hey, Kurt, do they call this a pre-existing condition? I wonder if this would be covered, you know?
Well, good point, Sam. Headline from our pals across the pond, metro.co.uk, says, woman, 64, gives birth to twins, becoming one of the world's oldest new mothers. Toby Meges is the author, and you know, this will strike fear into the heart of a lot of women, but in this case,
it'll make many women jump for joy too.
Know, yeah, good point.
Yes, sir.
This 64-year-old woman gave birth to twins at a hospital in Spain, and she has, they say, become one of the world's oldest new mothers. Now, they're not including like Elizabeth in the Bible and a few of those others. They say that there's a lady that was aged 70 in 2015 that had a baby, but they kind of forgot some of that scripture stuff. These babies, by the way, she had a boy and a girl.
They didn't forget the scripture stuff, Kurt. They just don't. Mentioned
they didn't
the
bring them
stuff.
Up. Yeah. Anyway, says her babies, a boy and a girl, are said to be in a perfect state of health, weighing 5 pounds 3 ounces and 4 pounds 8 ounces respectively. The mother, who already has one child, gave birth after successfully having IVF treatment in the United States. They say the birth has sparked controversy after it was revealed her first child, a girl, was removed from her care after being born 6 years ago. They reported that the child was taken by social services due to problems related to hygiene and education, said to be living the child with relatives. A hospital spokesman said, quote, "This is an exceptional case, not only for the region, but also for Spain, given the fact that she's one of the few women aged more than 58 who has managed to successfully complete her pregnancy with twins." By the way, it was a C-section, they say it was coordinated work of a multidisciplinary team, a couple of gynecologists, two pediatricians, a couple of matrons. I don't know exactly what those are. Maybe it's like their phrase for midwives. And the team of nurses and nursing assistants necessary for an operation of this magnitude. They say the patient...
Anyway, the bottom line is we're delighted for it. Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah. The fact that twins are welcome to the earth, the fact that people want to be mothers desperately. We support all that family stuff, and we pray for the health of the mother and the twins.
And it reminds me of the way I like that they say this when you're overseas. They say it when you become pregnant, or they call it you fail pregnant or you fall pregnant.
Yeah.
But that's their thing, you know.
You just fall pregnant there.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know how that happened.
Fell pregnant. Anyway, that's right.
All right. There you go. Climate specialists and other scientists are now petitioning President Donald J. Trump to dump Paris Treaty, Kurt. This is huge news. I thought all the scientists believed in global warming and it was only the wackos that didn't.
Well, remember, this is Liberty News Daily piece, Sam.
Of course so probably, it is. You got to get the news.
Yeah, you're not going to get it much from, of course, CNN, New York Times. They're just not going to cover this story. There's something called the UNFCCC. Now, that's a lot of CCs in there. Yeah, but they say it's the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, you know, in case you were unaware of that, UNFCCC. But they say the Liberty News Daily piece says hundreds of scientists from scores of countries have signed a petition to President Trump seeking an end to the UN's climate treaty. Ooh. In this brief statement of a 21-page petition, that's a lot shorter than like NAFTA and GATT. But anyway, he says, we urge the United States government and others to withdraw from the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. We support reasonable and cost-effective environmental protection, the letter explains, but carbon dioxide, I get this part, Sam, this is kind of interesting, the target of the UNFCCC. Is not a pollutant, but a major benefit to agriculture and other life on Earth. They go on to say, observations since the UNFCCC was written 25 years ago show that warming from increased atmospheric CO2 will be benign, much less than the initial model predictions. Oh, darn, end quote. Final sentence from the Liberty News Daily boys. Most, but not all, of the signatories are research scientists and engineers from climate-related fields. Well, there you have it, Sam. Look out for that carbon dioxide, you know, the thing they tell us to all be worried about. But they say it's not a pollutant, but a major benefit to agriculture and other life on Earth. I guess that's probably the reason they got problems with it. You know, got to get rid of that life on Earth stuff.
Well, all I'm telling you is hundreds and hundreds of scientists are wanting Donald to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So is that good news or what, Kurt?
I'm thinking this is, I'd like to trumpet it, you know.
But what I don't understand is where's all the folks that are going to report the truth? They were so busy telling you every scientist on the planet, you know, believes in global warming. All these guys are saying, we think that it's off the rails.
Yeah, they missed that, didn't they?
All right, Kurt. Well, you've heard of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, right? You've also heard...
racist organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've heard of the National Association for the Advancement of White People, too, right?
Nope. I haven't heard of that. I'm pretty sure that if somebody started it, they'd get some pretty good, what would you call it?
I've decided that white people, though, should just take over the NAACP, Kurt. We don't need to do white people. That would be too racist.
Well, yeah, good point.
You want to know how we ought to do it? The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Caucasian People. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's definitely ought to get you some news coverage. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean...
I mean...
Does it... Because really, to say that it applies to colored people but not Caucasian people?
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam.
You know, it's the NAACP. Are you willing to be part of it, Kurt?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, it's kind of interesting. I just think that's a strange brew, how it all works. I also find it fascinating. Hundreds of scientists.
Yeah.
How come the mainstream press isn't telling us about any of this?
It's a great, great question.
I don't know what to think about it. It's kind of hard to think through a little bit for guys like me, Kurt. Just because I'm for the truth.
Yeah,
and they got this big old petition going on.
Yes, they
want to seek an end to the climate treaty. Do you think Donald's going to listen to them?
He might not get the memo on this. I suppose he would listen if he was, caught up on it, at least in my opinion. It would be something he'd...
All right, I want to finish on phenomenal news.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this Idaho boy, Kurt.
Very good
this
point.
This is cool news.
Sam, it is. It's excellent. There's a little story that you'd think that a whole bunch of people would hear about. Although there's probably a problem in several areas, but the dateline is Sugar City, Idaho. And the headline from KSL.com says, Idaho boy says angels helped him save his dad after a car fell on him. As an 8-year-old boy, I'll just get you the picture. You've got a father and two sons. One's a 17-year-old brother and then a 8-year-old son. And they're in the backyard of their Sugar City home. By the way, this happened last July, and this is the first report I've seen of it. They were pulling, this is what the dad said, we were pulling the engine out of the car, and after we got it jacked up, I climbed under there to take the axles off. Whoa. He says the one axle came off pretty easily, but the other side wasn't coming off. Stephen, the dad, went to adjust the axle and move the jack, but suddenly the Toyota Prius fell on him. Mason, that's the 17-year-old, had gone inside the house minutes earlier after cutting his hand. The only person around was JT. Remember, that's the 8-year-old. The dad said, I yelled to JT on the other side of the car, jack it up quick, jack it up quick. The bottom line is the little boy weighs about 50 pounds. He went to work. And then little boy says he saw basically angels helping him. He said he had angels. He said, we believe my grandpa who passed on and my sister died were helping him. So, the whole thing is a miracle. There's no other way to describe it. That's what they say. There's no way that little boy could have done that. I just felt like it was a responsibility we now have to tell people that miracles still exist.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. Very clear indeed. We at Liberty Roundtable Live believe in miracles. After all, we trust in God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. What fantastic news. This nation shall endure. LibertyNewsRadio.com.